The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning, everyone. It's getting close to the end of the week here, Thursday, May 28th. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday edition of TalkBack. I am Peter Christian. That is Mr. Nick Christians. And over there, Mr. Nick, good morning. Whoop, there we go. Get the right button called. There we go. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
A good start. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. So here we are. It's an absolutely flawless, beautiful day. Looking outside my patented exclusive weather window, and it's just a clear blue sky out there. Hope you're having a good morning so far today. By the way, this first hour for TalkBack is open phones. So whatever might be on your mind, that's what we'd like to talk about. And in the 9 o'clock hour, Dr. John Lott will be joining us from the Crime Prevention Research Center. His website is crimeresearch.org. We'll be talking with Dr. Lott about all the things that he is researching right now. He does so much research. He has an entire staff of folks doing that on a daily basis. So we're looking forward to that. And that's in the 9 o'clock hour. But right now, it's up to you. What is on your mind this morning? I've been doing a little research here this morning. And just looking at the largest cities in Montana, of course, number one, Nick, would be?
In Montana?
Yeah, largest cities in Montana.
Bozeman, probably.
No, it's Billings.
Oh, Billings is the largest. Oh, yep. Okay.
117,000 residents. It's the Magic City. Number two is Missoula, the Garden City. Number three is Great Falls, which is nicknamed, for those of you that don't know, the Electric City. Bozeman is sometimes called Bozone. That's the fourth largest city. Butte, of course, that's an easy one. It's the mining city. Helena is the queen city of the Rockies. Well, I kind of grew up there, so kind of a neat place there. 35,000 residents in Helena. Kalispell is the nickname for Kalispell. I didn't know this. Is called the Hub of the Valley. And it's got 34,000-plus residents, and it's a gateway to Glacier National Park. So there you go. In case you want to amaze your friends with statistics about Montana, there you go. You can use those. It's Billings, Missoula, Great Falls, Bozeman, Butte, Helena, and Kalispell as the largest cities. So there you go. Now,
and I was just saying, we are in, obviously, we have affiliates now that are in Billings and
right.
Bozeman. And obviously, we're in Missoula, so and Gray Falls. So there you go.
Now, I was just looking these up, and again, kind of a facts nerd here, a statistics nerd. The 10 safest cities in Montana from the organization called SafeWise. Well, let's see. Missoula's not in there. Bozeman's not in there. Billings is not in there. Okay, the safest cities in Montana, going from number 10 all the way to number 1. Okay, so if you want to feel safe. The safest city in the top 10 is the least safe city in the top 10. That was number 10 is Kalispell. Number 9 is Glasgow. Number 8 is Sydney. Number 7 is Columbia Falls. Number 6 is Belgrade. Number 5 is Dillon. Number 4 is Miles City. Number 3 is Whitefish. Number 2 is Hardin. And the safest city in Montana, ding, 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 it is Libby, just in case you're wondering.
Interesting.
I was just nerding out with this stuff.
No, that's good. Yeah.
All right.
Surprised.
And I'm also looking at some statistics here. Security measures used by Montanans to stay safe. The number one is obviously a firearm. 51% of people have a firearm. 45% depend on a security camera. And 40% depend on a guard dog. There's a nice picture of a Doberman Pinscher there. So Just some stats, if you'd like to talk about those, that's great. Phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Got a break coming up here in just a few minutes, just a few seconds, actually. And don't forget, open phones will continue for this whole hour. So if there's something on your mind you'd like to talk about, give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana. Our western Montana forecast kind of falling apart for this coming weekend. Thursday brings rain showers, a good chance of afternoon thunderstorms as highs reach the mid-90s. We're also watching severe weather over eastern Washington, which looks to stay west of us, but it bears watching. Showers and thunderstorms continue Friday as we cool into the low 80s, and now rain likely an 80% chance both Saturday and Sunday, with highs dropping back into the 60s, the overnight lows around 40. With your Town Square weather forecast, I'm Dennis Bragg.
Hey, welcome back to Open Phones for this first hour of Talk Back for this Thursday, May 28th. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls, and two folks have already called in this morning. Let's get Ed on first. Ed, good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Good morning. A couple things. A lot of ads are on TV like crazy. But Aaron Flint had one where he said, quote, in it, "President Trump is sending me to Congress," end quote. That struck me as a little funny, because aren't the voters sending him to Congress?
That is that would be the that would be the way that most people get to Congress. They're elected by their
state. President Trump is sending me to Congress. That struck me. Now, I haven't seen it here recently, and maybe they thought that had a bad tone to it also. But another thing is that Trump apparently is going to pay reparations to the rioters of January 6th. That's what it looks like, that he wants to do that, get some money in their pockets. I don't know why. Maybe he's going to have a little standing army on his own. I don't know. But these are simply reparations for mm-hmm. things they did to the Capitol, and he approved of that. So in any event, that's it on this beautiful morning here in Missoula, the best city in Montana.
There you go. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Harry's up next. Harry, it's Open Phones. What's on your mind, please, sir?
Yeah, good morning, Peter. A couple things. After watching all this politics going on right now and all that, right. I definitely think we got to get rid of the parties. It's a waste of time, waste of effort. I mean, if we got rid of the parties, they would do away with so many problems. I mean, even like the gerrymandering. There'd be no gerrymandering, because you just take each state, divide them up in nice little sections, you know, according to population, and, you know, everybody would vote. And this whole thing of having
Harry, with that logic, then the guy with the man or woman with the most money, with the best able to get their name out there before the public, would simply win.
No, that's the way it is now. I mean, they just have the parties now get to pay, you know, play the part. They get all the money, so it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still about money in the end. But also the idea that you have to be a part of a party here in Missoula. I mean, in Montana, you have to. You know, if you're not part of a party, then you got to get so many signatures to get on the ballot.
Right.
Well, what is that? I mean, you know, why do you have to join these made up things to be able to run for office?
Well, I wonder if some of that is logistics, because if everybody who wanted to run for office simply put their name in, the ballot would be huge. You know, I mean, it would be hundreds of people, and how would you be able to differentiate?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you could willow it down somehow, but just do all that ranked choice voting, too. I mean, the party thing is also, you know, it's way of limiting, we don't like this person. It turns into a game. And running our country should not be a game. I mean, it shouldn't be, oh, that team, we don't like that team because they're, you know, or that quarterback because he's not our team. You know, our team's good team, their team, bad team. You know, it turns into just, you're not really voting for the person, you're voting for the team.
Yeah, the sports metaphor breaks down a little bit when it comes to politics, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think so, because who do you vote for? Anybody other than the Republicans? Most likely not. I mean, and it's they're the good team. The other team is the bad team. And once they get in there, then it's, you know, oh well, this team controls the House. Well, you know, why should one team control a House? They have to decide what is good for the country, not is good for the Democrats, good for the Republicans. And you see it all the time. The one side will put out a bill, and the other side will vote it down. No, we don't want that. But then as soon as they get in power, they'll put that same thing out there, and the other side will vote it down because it's not good for them. It's all about the, you know, where you want the Republicans to be in charge or the Democrats to be in charge. It's ridiculous. To me, like I say, it's our country should be ran better than just a stupid, like a football game.
Well, let me ask you one quick question before we let you go. Do you vote?
Oh, yeah.
Good. All right. Good deal. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, but I try to find out who these people are instead of just looking at what the number letter is beside the name. But again, I think it's terrible that we run our country like this.
Harry, thanks for the call. Yep. We appreciate. Oh, go ahead, Nick, please.
I was gonna say too, piggybacking off of Harry, like I don't like that we can only vote for one party, one ticket. You know, for the races right now, because I mean, I think we should be able to choose. You know, both parties, you know.
They call it a straight ticket, right?
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, and I know the reason why they do it, but it's just, you know, for people like us that are, you know, fairly educated voters because we talk to all these people and we yeah. get both sides of the aisle and we hear from them, it's like there's certain people on one party that I like and there's certain people on the other party that I like to where it's like, you know, I would hate. You know, I just it's tough having to choose, you know, which ticket to vote for. And then, you know, you get some people that, you know, maybe Republican that want to vote Democrat just so that they can vote for like maybe the lesser mm-hmm. quote unquote candidate on the Democratic ticket to right. try to, you know, finagle the system. And I just to Harry's point. Yeah, it has become kind of a weird situation. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, it would be interesting to find out if people have solutions out there that they think would be a better way to do what we're doing right now. So I'd love to hear it. Let's get Joe on the phone. We got about I got less than a minute, actually. Joe, I want to give you plenty of time to make your point or ask your question. So we're gonna leave you on hold for just a minute. I want to remind everybody once again that it is open phones from now until 9 o'clock this morning. So if you have a question or a comment about whatever might be going on in the world, we have Joe, Dave. Brad and Jeff all standing by when we come back from the break.
And just a reminder that, yeah, Election Day is Tuesday next week, and they did say that yesterday was probably the last day that if you were mailing your ballot that you could right. pretty much guarantee that it would get picked up. If you do it today, you're kind of risking it a little bit, but otherwise fill out your ballot if you haven't already, and then you can hand deliver it to the elections office.
So. Yeah, it's on Russell, by the way, in case
here, but yes, statewide, yeah. Look up your election office, obviously, and figure out where you can drop off your ballot, because, yeah, we're not just in Missoula now.
Thanks for the reminder. All right. We're going to come right back, and when we return, we'll get Joe up first, and then Dave, Brad, and Jeff, and it's open phones here on Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We appreciate you joining us this morning. We're going to come right back after this timeout, so please stay with us.
In a world of complicated...
If your community is affected by wildfires, contractors may approach you with incredible promises to help you recover. However, they may be dishonest individuals hoping to take advantage of your situation. Don't be a victim. If you suspect fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
This is Talk Back for this Thursday, May 28th. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. And the phones have just lit up here this morning for open phones. Let's get to it. Joe, good morning, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I tried to call in yesterday, but I was a little day late, dollar short. So the guest you had, I was going to comment that I was just on I-15 down by Idaho Falls, and I saw all these windmills down there. So I took out the binoculars and I counted 42 windmills.
Wow.
And four of them were turning out of 42. And it was windy. But so I don't trust the government to get involved in business, because you look at what happened to Spirit Airlines. You know, they wanted to merge with Sky Blue or whatever the name of the company is, and they wouldn't let them. So now they're gone. They're gone. And I don't trust the government to get involved in it, you know. And
so is it just keep its hands out of a business? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so the data centers, I see the point. I mean, people are very concerned about the size of them and changing the environment and then the energy use and everything. But I just think the government will mess it up, you know. And, I was going to comment, too, because, you know, they brought up the election thing Harry brought up. Well, I read in Newsmax magazine they had a good article about the Senate race in Montana, and they said that the senator, the candidate from the Democratic Party is going to run as a independent based on John Tester's advice not to run as a Democrat because the Democrats are so toxic. You know, he kind of threw the Democratic Party under the bus after he lost. But he could have got on board with Fetterman, you know, out there in Pennsylvania and got ahead of the curve on it, but he didn't. Mm. So now he's kind of saying bad things about the Democratic Party. And so apparently this Democrat's going to run as a independent.
And
so maybe that'll help.
And that would be Seth Bodner, by the way. Yeah, the gentleman you're talking about.
Okay, thank you for that.
All right. Hey, thanks.
Yeah,
thank you for the call, sir. Yeah. We appreciate it. All right. Up next, I believe we have Frank standing by. Frank, good morning. Thanks for calling TalkBack this morning. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, I'm kind of against data centers because of something called something I learned from Google AI is that search engines, AI search engines, can hallucinate.
Oh,
in other words,
my goodness, wow.
They will spit out falsehoods. There's one thing they won't say is I don't know, but they will spit out false information just as quickly as as it comes in off of other feeds like chat lines, social feeds, and everything. You know, people can lie, and you know, I was just doing some searching, and I said I died in 2008. And I looked it up. It was a Daily Interlake article that said it came from. And I went to that article and it didn't say I died, but it was my God! It just
wow.
The more and more of these centers is just going to cause more aggression, resentment, because anybody can call in, give false information.
Yeah,
against thy neighbor.
I just distrust it because it's not human. And yeah, you know, but there you go. Hey, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's see. Let's get Dave on the line. Dave, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please, sir. What's on your mind?
Yeah, first of all, about government ownership. I guess, you know, Trump bought 10% of Intel Corporation. And I don't know if we'll make money off it or not. But on to oil. Yesterday, you had an oil expert on. And he was really upset that Biden was selling some oil from our national reserve prior to election. Well, he's not the only one. Trump's doing the same thing. Our national reserve is shrinking as we talk. And thirdly, on Flint, on the election cycle, he's been running a commercial on the radio or on TV showing a bunch of bad guys that Trump has kicked out of the country. And, you know, that's a good thing. I'm all for that. But what he didn't say in the commercial was who let him in the first place. And I've been trying to find out. Now, I appreciate anyone out there who knows, but I have a hunch that some of those bad guys came into this country while Trump was president. So, but I'm curious. Yes, and I'd like to know for sure because, you know, Trump let a lot of people in, too. You know, as far as now Biden, you know, had this big wave of people come in, which, you know, was attacked. I mean, I was objecting to it because he said some of the wrong things. But he did prevent most of them from coming into this country. He stopped them at the border and sent them home. And that's he doesn't give credit for that. Certainly his policies were a problem. But I would like to know if anyone knows the bad guys, if they came in during Trump's administration or Biden's administration.
Well, I wonder how far you can take that responsibility factor. You know, if somebody comes in under a certain president, obviously, when all is said and done, the person at the top has to bear the responsibility. But there's a whole lot of levels there that you have to work through before you can get there, in my opinion.
I agree with you 100%, but he's using it as some political push to get elected, and it's a big political issue for him, and you know, he started this. Okay. I mean, I would have let it pass, but he started this by pushing this issue of the bad guys going out.
Gotcha. Now,
Biden kicks bad guys out when he was president all the time.
Okay.
And it was not a big issue then, but it is now.
We are up against a hard break, but thank you for your call. We're going to come right back. Stay with us. More of Open Phones coming up on TalkBack right after this.
You've just had an...
Our Western Montana forecast kind of falling apart for this coming weekend. Thursday brings rain showers, a good chance of afternoon thunderstorms as highs reach the mid-90s. We're also watching severe weather over eastern Washington, which looks to stay west of us, but it bears watching. Showers and thunderstorms continue Friday as we cool into the low 80s, and now rain likely an 80% chance both Saturday and Sunday, with highs dropping back into the 60s, the overnight lows around 40. With your Town Square weather forecast, I'm Dennis Bragg.
Every weekend, Diane Beck and Becky Peterson, the Beck and Beck team at Windermere Real Estate, present Missoula Real Estate Today on News Talk KGVO. The Beck and Beck team provides years of local experience for your real estate transaction and bring you guests that provide useful information on products and services available in our community on Missoula Real Estate Today. Saturday mornings from 8 till 8:30 and replayed Sunday mornings from 10:30 till 11 on News Talk KGVO, FM 98.3 and AM 1290, and on the free KGVO mobile app.
We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with all service members and their families. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Thank you so much for joining us on TalkBack on this Thursday, May 28th. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. I'm Peter Christian. And let's get Brad on the phone. Brad, thanks for holding. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please. By the way, where are you calling from, Brad?
Yeah, I'm calling from downtown Laurel, Montana. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. Welcome. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, not due to a lack of press coverage on the Public Service Commission, we're a little toxic any given moment, but there's been no real coverage of the primaries and no real questions to the people that are running. So I thought I'd take my 21 years of experience in being involved in this and throw out a couple of things, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. As you know, Commissioner Pinocchi is term limited. He wasn't even challenged last time. He has been a unapologetic, very strong voice on behalf of ratepayers. When he asks questions in hearings of the utilities, they know it's going to be, you said this on this day, now you're saying that. Which one is the truth? He's that kind of a commissioner, and we're losing him. He's running for Senate, and I hope he makes it. I think he'll protect taxpayers every bit as strongly as he has ratepayers. But the one that's really contested is his seat. You have Jeremy Trebias, who I sat next to in tax for 4 years. And Jeff Patterson served a long time ago. And there is day and night difference between these two. And nobody's drawing it. Number one, Jeremy, almost every vote in the last couple of sessions has been very, very pro data centers, which I don't care if a guy's pro data centers, but you can't be anti ratepayers when you're doing it. He voted for a 0.9% property tax on data centers. If you, as an elderly person, have a house that has a furnished basement, you want to rent it out for bed and breakfast, you pay 1.8. So they're paying half that amount in property tax.
Wow.
He voted for Senate Bill 212, which takes away all local control for the siting of a data center. All local control is lost. The cities would have no control over it, and he voted for it. You can't zone statewide and think you're going to be right every time. And there should never be a state law that favors one industry and tells cities what they have to do. The big one, I was there when he got this one out of committee, was his Senate Bill 548, which, and this is the title of it, Eliminate Government Tax, Property Tax Levy Restrictions. You know, there's a formula that stops cities and counties from adding more taxes. They get around it with mills and stuff, but he wanted to eliminate that formula. Whatever they wanted to charge was fine with him. He said they know what they're doing. They know the money they need. I believe that bill got like four votes on the Senate floor. Imagine that in a rate case, Peter.
Hey, Brad, our phone lines are jammed. We appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Let's get Christy on the line. Christy Jacobson. Christy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. What's on your mind, ma'am?
I just wanted to give a little pitch to vote for me and a few election reminders.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. As your Secretary of State, I delivered on my promises to secure our elections, stop non-citizens from voting, downsize government, and I have solid votes on the land board supporting natural resource development, including timber sales and competitive oil and gas leases, and hoping to earn your vote. And just a few election reminders, we are running the election right now. And if you have your absentee ballot at this point in time, do not put it in the mail, right, but drop right. it off at your local election office. And you can also track that it's been received at the My Voter page on the Secretary of State website. So encourage everybody to check that out. And if you're voting in person, to bring your ID.
And I'm really hoping, Christy, that we'll have a higher voter turnout than in the past. Some of these midterm elections are rather dismal in their voter turnout, you know, 30, 35, 40%, whatever. We're hoping people will get out and basically sit down at the table and mark their ballot.
Absolutely. We have so much at stake right now with all of these races. And make sure that your voice is heard by voting. It's so important. And the primary is very important. So let's get out and vote. And please vote for me.
Christy Jacobson, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We're up against a break. We have Aaron, Jeff, Emmett, and many more on the phone lines waiting to talk on Talkback this morning. So we'll be right back after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Talkbackers.
Being a family caregiver can be rewarding, but it can also be expensive. Search caregiver compensation programs at the AARP Foundation Paid for Care Hub, developed with support from United Healthcare. Visit paidforcare.aarpfoundation.org.
Childhood cancer is the leading cause of death by disease for children in our country. We can do something about that. We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org.
Hey, we love having busy phone lines during open phones. And a very familiar voice is going to be joining us right now, Aaron Flint. Aaron, good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Hey, Peter, good morning to you guys. Yeah, what a beautiful morning here in the Flathead. And I'll be your direction here pretty soon as well.
So tell us what's going on, sir.
Well, first off, I heard your numbers. You were quoting some Montana statistics at the top of the hour, talking about the largest towns in Montana, et
right.
cetera. I enjoyed that. I want to throw some numbers out there as well, because as you guys know, I am the Trump-endorsed candidate running, because we're going to make the Montana dream affordable again. Let's talk about affordable housing. 30% of the cost of building a home is due to government regulations and red tape. And yet, look at these far-left socialists that are bringing AOC to Missoula. They support the very big government regulations and red tape that made everything so unaffordable in the first place. And then they're going to double down and put Obamacare on steroids and make health care even more unaffordable. So I'm running so that we can stop them. Not only does 30% of the cost of a home come from government regulations and red tape, but think about this, Peter and Nick. It costs $100,000 to build a home before you've even dug a hole in the ground. And so those were just a couple of numbers that I wanted to throw out there, because that's why we've got to do everything we can to make the Montana dream affordable again. I also wanted to let you guys know, I'm not just phoning it in. I haven't been phoning it in this entire primary election. We're showing up. We're getting out and talking to folks in person. I'm going to be in Polson. I'll be at the Blue Moon Rodeo tonight in Columbia Falls. I'm going to be in Polson tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock at the Shoe. Saturday, we've got an event in Whitefish Friday night. If anybody wants to join us for that, Saturday, the Montana Knife Company. This is going to be incredible. The MKC in Missoula. If you haven't been there yet, come see us. Then we're going to be in Bozeman, and then wrapping up in Helmville on Sunday night at the Copper Queen in Helmville. So if I haven't gotten to see you yet, if you haven't gotten to ask me a question in person yet, I'd love to see you. RSVP at flintformontana.com, RSVP at flintformontana.com, to get all the details on any of the places we're going to be at here, because we hit the ground running from the start of this campaign, and we are running all the way through the finish tape with our election night victory party coming up on Tuesday.
Aaron, thanks so much for being with us. Best of luck to you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
You bet. Thank you. Speaking of the Montana Knife Company, I was thrilled to see that they're a big supporter of Grizzly Sports, and they have their logo now in Washington Grizzly Stadium. So they're a major sponsor, and I know we've had the folks from Montana, Josh Smith, here in the studio a couple times, and a great, very, very successful new business in Western Montana. So congratulations to them. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on Talkback. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Peter. Good morning, Montana. Regarding political parties,
Jeff, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
A little quiet, Jeff.
Quiet?
Yeah, you're coming out real quiet.
Yeah, here, just a second. Let me see if I can fix that.
Same.
As... Anyway, I'll just talk louder.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. Remember when Ronald Reagan said the nine most deadly words are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Right.
Yeah, well, he just had a caller on who said about government property taxes at any level. They know what they're doing. And that scares me even more than Reagan's words. And regarding the problem with
Jeff, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Jeff. I'm so sorry. It's still really quiet. Yeah. So why don't you give us a call back and we'll try it with better volume.
Okay.
Sorry about
that. Again. Thanks for the call. Okay, so well, let's get Emmett on. Emmett, you're up next. Go ahead. What's on your mind on open phone, sir?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I hope you didn't cut off Jeff's call, because, he was getting on some really good points. I support
Emmett, it
that.
Was quiet. Yeah, when he said that. We couldn't hear anything, so we're not cutting anybody off.
It was,
thank you.
It was very faint, but he's going to call back.
All right, wonderful. Well, anyway, I just wanted to talk. I've talked about UFOs and everything, but on Fox News a couple of nights ago, and I'd been at the movies, so I missed ABC World News. I hope it was on ABC and CBS, but Donald Trump, to his credit, gave us another declassification of UFO material.
Right, I saw that.
And was it on ABC News as well?
It was all over the place. It was on Fox. It was on all over.
That's wonderful. Isn't that incredible? We're coming so close to full disclosure. I think Donald Trump is just chomping at the bit. He's just burning to give full disclosure that we're not alone. I've always believed that since I was a child. And I'm really big into the UFO phenomena. But it seemed like on Fox News, one of the guests they had on, a retired colonel or someone who had been in the military and testified at Congress on these things, part of the reports that they actually gave, the written reports, were extraterrestrial biological entities that have been that we have recovered and that we have known about. We don't know if they're from another planet, but they're not of this world. And there's been a lot of information that has been declassified. Now, I know the photos were kind of grainy. The, you know, the videos of kind of, they didn't really look like typical UFOs. But there's going to be more coming. You don't think that Donald Trump is finally going to one day just disclose to the whole world, hey, by the way, extraterrestrials are real, and we have been visited. We have treaties and alliances with various governments from other planets. You don't think it's going to go that far? That'd be exciting.
To be honest with you, that's so far out of my wheelhouse. I don't even know how to comment on it. But thanks for the call.
It's exciting.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to have Lee. It was calling us from Kalispell, and Susan is also patiently waiting. Several other phone lines are open, by the way. Open Phones continues here till just before 9 o'clock, about another 8 or 9 minutes. So give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Dr. John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center will be joining us. Right now, you're listening to Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back. Hey, if you're waking up. Hey, thanks for joining us on the Talkback. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning and producing Talkback. Lee is standing by. Lee from Kalispell. Good morning, sir. What's on your mind?
Yes, nice to talk to you. This deals with Bill Clinton when he was first trying to get elected for president. He promised to give everybody a cash rebate at the time. Remember that? Where he said, I'll give everybody a tax rebate. And then he gets into office, and the first thing he does, they lied to me. We don't have as much money as I thought we did. So I'm not going to give you a tax rebate. In fact, I'm going to raise your taxes, which is exactly what he did.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm just saying, watch out for what somebody says.
Are you telling me that a politician who was running for office might exaggerate just a little bit to get elected? I can't.
Just a little bit.
Yes.
And actually, I caught him in a lie, Bill Clinton.
All right.
He came to the Northwest and promised to support the lumber industry, which I was working at the time. And then he went to Oregon and promised to shut down the forests in Oregon in the Northwest to save the spotted owl, which had nothing to do with the forest industry anyway.
All right, sir. Well, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Susan standing by. Susan, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Hey there. I'm just going to remind everybody in the state of Montana that June 2nd is our final day to get our ballots in.
Right.
There is no time to mail them. And so walk them into your election office. I don't care where you are. Please walk them into your election office. The election offices across the state are super nice. You get a little sticker that says, I voted.
Right.
It's fun to go in there. There's kind of a party atmosphere. And we are dismal right now across the state, the number of people that have voted. So I don't know what the percentage is across the state, but I think it's running about 20%.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's really sad. And Christy Jacobson and Aaron Flint both are outstanding candidates for Congress. We are very blessed in the Republican Party you have two outstanding candidates running. Unfortunately, this year we have almost, it seems like every, both in the Democrats and the Republicans, we have a tremendous number of contested primaries. So that means that the voters really have to select somebody. And I really think people don't realize how important a primary is. So you are picking the candidates that are going to go on the November ballot. And then you're going to vote again in November.
Gotcha.
So please get out and vote and turn your ballots in.
Susan?
And thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you. George, you've got about 2 minutes. Go ahead. About 2.5 minutes. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'll try to make it really quick here. The UFO disclosure, holy smokes, what a diversion. It's fantasy. Okay, if it's not, why don't we have the Epstein disclosure? Let's have a disclosure about Epstein. I wonder why he's hiding that. I wonder why he starts a war.
Well, maybe Epstein was an alien.
Yeah. Okay, and then the candidate, Flint, tying himself to Trump. Holy smokes. I mean, the corruption from Trump is unbelievable. I mean, the Hunter Biden laptop people, that is a drop in the bucket compared to what Trump has been doing. And if you don't believe me, do a small amount of research. That's all I ask. Small amount of research, and you will not believe the Trump and the Trump family and how they are taking taxpayer money and putting it in their pocket. That's all I can say.
Well, the one thing that will comfort you is when his term is up, he can't run for president again. So
he's not going to need to. He's going to have so many billions in his pocket and in his taxpayer money, in his pocket, in his family's pocket. And for people not to see that, they're just in a bubble, and they need to get out of the bubble and just do a small amount of research. You know, and there's so many ways to research now, you know, on the internet and valid sites and people with data backing it up. That's all I got to say.
George, thank you for the call. We appreciate it, sir. And that's going to do it pretty much for Open Phones. Now, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Nick, we're going to be talking with Dr. John Lott, right?
Yep. President and founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center, should be calling here in a few minutes.
You bet. So after the top of the hour news, we are looking forward to having a great conversation with Dr. Lott. He is one of the great researchers in this country of his topic. I imagine there aren't very many people more knowledgeable about crime prevention and law enforcement than Dr. John Lott. And he testifies all over the country and all over the world, in fact, to various groups to talk about crime prevention in here in America and, of course, abroad. So we're looking forward to that conversation with Dr. Lott. If you'd like to get in the queue, give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talk back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll continue right after the top of the hour.
Views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, a brand new hour of TalkBack. Hour number two is underway on this Thursday, May 28th. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen is taking your phone calls this morning. And we are always honored to have with us Dr. John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center. I can't think of anyone in my memory in all the years I've been doing this that of someone that has a greater grasp of knowledge on his topic, especially with firearms and crime and what's going on, especially in this country. So, Dr. Lott, good morning and welcome back, sir.
Oh, it's great to talk to you guys again. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. It's our pleasure. And I'd like to just step aside here for just a moment and allow you to talk about the things that are on top of your top of mind awareness, the projects and articles you've been working on.
Oh, well, I guess... I just put together an op-ed on the move by a number of states to go and ban people having Glock handguns, which is by far the most common handgun that's used by police in the United States. Probably about 65-70% of police in the United States use Glocks. And it's probably been the best-selling model of handguns in the United States for the civilian market also. There's been some people who put together what they call a Glock switch, which allows them to go and supposedly convert this gun from a regular semi-automatic into a fully automatic gun.
Wow.
And but I would pretty much advise most people not to do it. And the reason is because it doesn't really actually change the firing mechanism in the gun. What it does is it keeps the chamber from kind of closing completely when it's supposed to close and force feeds bullets in there. Once you pull the trigger, it will continue firing until the bullets run out. So it's not like a normal machine gun where the bullets will come out as long as you have the trigger depressed. And the problem is that if the chamber isn't fully closed, when you have an explosion from the bullet, the explosion just doesn't go down the barrel as it was supposed to, but it can go down into the magazine.
Wow.
And basically can cause the handgun to explode on you. You can have pieces of shrapnel from that, you know, hit the person, cut open your hand. There have been people who have lost eyes as a result of kind of that misfire that's there. And, you know, it's not something I would recommend somebody do unless they have some type of death wish to go and use that. And but anyway, you have California and Maryland have just passed laws banning Glocks. You have New York and Illinois and a couple other states which are considering legislation or passing, in the process of passing this legislation. New Jersey just is involved in a court case where they're requiring that all licensed dealers in the state who have sold Glocks over the last decade have to go and give a list of all their people who purchased any gun, not just Glocks, to the attorney general there of the state that they will then use to go and track down who owns a Glock in the state so it can be confiscated. You know, the bizarre thing like that is...
Dr. Lotta, I need to tell you, we're just a few seconds away from a hard break, so I had to jump in here.
Sorry.
We're going to come right back. Dr. Lotta's joining us. We'll be back after this quick timeout, and we already have callers waiting to visit with you, including Joe, standing by. Thanks for joining us on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back after this.
Busy Bees...
Our Western Montana forecast kind of falling apart for this coming weekend. Thursday brings rain showers, a good chance of afternoon thunderstorms as highs reach the mid-90s. We're also watching severe weather over eastern Washington, which looks to stay west of us, but it bears watching. Showers and thunderstorms continue Friday as we cool into the low 80s, and now rain likely an 80% chance both Saturday and Sunday, with highs dropping back into the 60s, the overnight lows around 40. With your Town Square weather forecast, I'm Dennis Bragg.
This is our share. Heritage, but today we're divided, except for our love of wildlife and wild places they and we call home. We are closer than you think. Learn more at defenders.org.
Back back on Talk Back now. And our special guest joining us on the phone, Dr. John Lott, founder and director of the Crime Prevention Research Center. And we had to cut you off there from your intro, Dr. Lott. So please continue, if you wouldn't mind, sharing the important information that you're working on.
Sure. Well, I mean, I just think that we're talking about this move to ban Glocks in a number of Democratic-controlled states. They know they can't go and ban all handguns. And I think this is just their way of at least trying to take a big chunk out of it and say, look, we're not trying to ban all handguns. We're just banning one model of it. And I think my own guess is that the courts will strike this down. I mean, in New Jersey, when they're getting the licensed dealers all the sales that they've made, there are people who are buying guns that they're going to have on the list from licensed dealers are law-abiding citizens that are there. They're not anybody that they need to worry about. And, you know, so I think the courts will eventually strike it down because the courts have said as long as a gun is in common use, it's legal. But it's you're going to have a number of Democratic-controlled states which are going to pass bans in the interim before the courts get involved.
All right, we do have folks waiting on the line to visit with you. This is Joe.
Yep, you got Joe.
Joe, good morning. Joe, you're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead, please.
Thank you both. I'm interested in the assassination culture that we're experiencing. And now it seems they're demonizing the billionaires. And I'm wondering if it's going to be okay to not only kill people you disagree with, but now you can kill people if they're rich. And if you have any specific information about the Mangione case and the Utah case, because it's hard to get information on both of those cases. They're just not covering it.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. So please go ahead, Dr. Lott.
Right. Well, I mean, we just had another attack on the White House just a week ago.
Right.
I don't know, maybe the fifth attempt that we know of that deals with Trump in some way, you know. And the previous record, to the extent that one doesn't want to keep track of these records, there were two attempts on Gerald Ford. All the other presidents at most suffered just one attempt. So we're going for the record books, and the Trump's administration obviously isn't over yet. So, you know, you have a lot of people, Nassan, this young kind of influencer out there, has made a name for himself. He's the guy, he's going around campaigning with everybody from Plattner in Maine to tell Rico or whatever his name is in Texas, the Democratic Senate nominee there, to the candidate in Michigan, the Democratic Senate candidate in Michigan. He recently kind of got attention because he was saying that, you know, he was praising going and trying to kill Mangione, saying that Mangione, the person that he killed, the health insurance executive, was engaging in social murder by not approving all the care and everything that everybody wanted to go and get. You know, the irony is for these individuals that are pushing, you know, trying to kill a health insurance executive, try going and getting medical care in Canada or the UK or someplace like that, where the waits are just extremely long. I mean, the notion that, you know, in the United States, people go in, you go and you get your MRI maybe the same day or within a couple days. I had my daughter-in-law living in the UK. They basically told her it would be 9 months before she could go and get an MRI. She was in such pain that she ended up leaving the country so that she could go and get an MRI and take it back to the doctors there so she could go and get into the queue for the next level of treatment that's there. But, you know, that's kind of beside the point, I guess. But, you know, you're right. You look at a lot of these Democrats who are running for office, they're say that billionaires only get their money by stealing. You know, you just had Plattner attacking Jeff Bezos. And, you know, Bezos, who put together Amazon, hasn't forced anybody to buy from Amazon. Right. The reason why somebody buys from Amazon is because the price is better there, or they can get fast delivery, and they can go and compare lots of products and read the reviews and decide what product is best for themselves. It's because he makes the process of buying more attractive to them than the alternatives that are there. They could still go and do the alternatives, but they've chosen voluntarily to go and buy from him. That's how he's made his money. And but, you know, they think that anybody has been successful, it can only be through theft. And, you know, it's not too surprising that if people actually believe those types of things, or believe the types of claims that Trump is a Nazi or a fascist or whatever, I'm not sure what worse things you can call somebody, but if somebody really believes that there's the end of democracy coming, you can understand why at least a few nuts out there, because, you know, obviously people have to take responsibility for their own actions, no matter what the rhetoric is out there. But it's a different world. I mean, you look at surveys asking people whether they think political violence is acceptable. And there's a huge divide. I just was seeing a survey, I believe it was from YouGov, recently.
I'll tell you what. Dr. Lott, let's hang on to that survey till we come back from the break. I want to give you plenty of time to stretch out and talk about that. We're going to come right back. We also have calls from Francis from Big Fork and Rick, both standing by to talk with Dr. John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center, president and founder. We're going to come right back after this timeout here on Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. We've already seen massive upgrades to many of Montana's major airports like Bozeman, Glacier International in Kalispell, and Missoula over the past few years. Now, as Tracy Taylor reports, it's Billings' turn.
Billings Logan International Airport is preparing for a major terminal improvement project aimed at improving the passenger experience and expanding ticketing capacity as air travel demand continues to grow. Construction on the airport's ticketing and baggage area is expected to begin June 15th and take about 24 months to complete. Airport officials say they'll work closely with airlines and travelers to keep the ticketing process running as smoothly as possible during construction. In Billings, Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
Attention Grizzly football fans who want to own a piece of Montana sports history. Washington Grizzly Stadium is getting a new turf, and the Grizzly Scholarship Association giving you the chance to bring the old field home. Well, parts of it at least. Right now, authentic pieces of the turf from last 10 seasons are up for grabs. You can snag a 2x3-foot patch of regular green turf for $100 or a maroon patch for $125. What if you want the big addition to your fan cave? You know, the massive 30x40-foot midfield charging bear? It's available. $10,000. The online auction runs until June 16th at 5 p.m. All the proceeds support UM student athletes. Just remember, you have to pick it up at the university yourself, as shipping is not available. You can check out the full details and place your bid. We have links on our websites. And Missoula drivers, get ready to tap the brakes. MDT launching a massive summer road project starting next week. The biggest headache will be Reserve Street, completely closing at times between 39th and Brook Street. Crews tackling 7 miles of resurfacing, paving, and chip sealing across major commuter routes, including Mullen Road, Broadway, and South Third. Expect heavy delays, lane restrictions, and sudden closures as this work progresses throughout the rest of this summer. This is the Montana State News Network.
When faced with complex challenges, there are people who come together to solve problems and transform lives. That's us. We are Rotary. We work with community partners to build green spaces, for all to connect with nature and each other. We support local youth through mentorship and literacy programs. We're committed to causes that improve lives everywhere. Learn more at rotary.org/action.
Every act of change begins with a neighbor, with someone saying,
"We take care of each other here."
In food banks and food pantries, neighbors pack fresh food and dignity into every box, moving food from farms to families through Feeding America's nationwide network. So when that box reaches a home, it carries more than food. It carries a promise that together we can end hunger. Feeding America, led by neighbors. Take action to end hunger now at feedingamerica.org.
Hey, we're back. This is the Thursday edition of Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian. Nick Christensen is producing Talk Back, taking your phone calls. Dr. John Lott is our featured guest this morning, president and founder of the Crime Prevention Research Center. And Francis from Big Fork has been waiting quite a while to visit with you. Francis, go ahead, please.
Okay. I was thinking, you know, like Chicago and all those states, they want to take everybody's guns away. Well, right now... the Democrats have turned more to the Communist Party. If you look at, you know, with the Nazis and stuff, that's how they took over. They got rid of the guns from the people. They didn't want the police to arrest anybody. And then pretty soon it's chaos and everything like it is now. And then they can control us. That's why they want to build a lot of apartment houses, because they don't want people to live out in the country, because it's harder to control people, and they don't like Christians, because Christians think where the other people, like the college students, they're kind of pretty much brainwashed anymore. I hate to say that, but I love my college students. But, you know, they aren't being taught to respect our country or the Pledge of Allegiance, and they are so scared of any other opinion. We got to keep working really hard to get this country back to where it was.
Thank you so much for the call. Dr. Lott, please go ahead.
You're welcome.
She brings up a lot of points. As somebody who spent most of my adult life in academia, I've had positions at Stanford, University of Chicago, the Wharton Business School, UCLA, Rice, Yale. I have to generally agree with the comment that she's made. I think it was about 20 years ago now, there was a survey of law professors in the top 100 law schools. And 93% were registered as Democrats, 4% were registered as Republicans. And you try to explain to people that kind of even understates the imbalance, because you can be you have to get a supermajority vote to get tenure. And you can be such a nutty left winger and that you alienate a third of the Democrat faculty and you'll still get tenure. But if you're a Republican, you have to get 2/3 of the Democrats to vote for you. And the only types of people who could do that would be ones who really maybe are very liberal Republicans. And even then, you have to be in an area that they don't care about, like teaching tax or something like that, where they have a hard time getting people. But the big thing is the students have little idea of how biased their professors are. They don't know what questions can be asked. They don't know what the alternative arguments are. You're lucky to get students to go and read the material that's assigned, let alone assuming that they're going to go out and do research on their own outside of what's assigned in class. And so you have professors who maybe make the strongest argument on the side that they agree with and then provide basically a straw man argument for the other side. And the students don't know that, and it has a big impact on students' perceptions. Plus, when you're at the top university, so I was on admissions at Wharton for a while, And I did graduate admissions, but I still had interactions with the undergraduate admissions people. And I was stunned to find out that they wouldn't go and admit an Eagle Scout who had like 1,600 on the SATs. It was like state tennis champion. And I went up after the meeting when I had heard that they weren't going to admit it. I said, what's the deal with this? You know, you always are talking about wanting to have people who are perseverance and, you know, accomplish things. Here's the guy's state tennis champion. You know, he's only 1% of scouts get to be Eagle Scouts.
Right.
And the response was, well, John, you have to understand we're a liberal arts university and it's important that people be open-minded. And we've just learned over time that Eagle Scouts tend to be closed-minded, so we don't allow them in. And you know, I just kind of viewed it as it's their proxy for political views. And there were a number of other proxies for political views that determined whether or not somebody would be admitted or not. And so what you have at the Ivy League schools is not only all the professors are of the left, but the vast majority of students come in as left. You look at surveys of Ivy League schools and 75-80% of the incoming freshmen classify themselves as liberals. Only about 6-8% classify themselves as conservatives. And I think what happens is, and I think part of what goes on is that not only because all your professors, but all your friends are going to be liberals.
Right.
They think that they can cause the few conservatives to be more conservative.
We're coming up against another break, and when we come back, we're going to. Rick is waiting on the line to visit with you, sir. Dr. John Lott, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, is joining us on the phone, and he'll be with us till 10 o'clock this morning. And several other phone lines are open, by the way, at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we're looking forward to getting more of your calls for Dr. Lott, who'll be with us right up until the top of the hour. And again, the phone number, 406-721-1290. Or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday, May 28th. Our talk back on the Montana Talks Radio Network, back after this. Hey, if you're buying...
Every weekend, Diane Beck and Becky Peterson, the Beck and Beck team at Windermere Real Estate, present Missoula Real Estate Today on News Talk KGVO. The Beck and Beck team provides years of local experience for your real estate transaction and bring you guests that provide useful information on products and services available in our community on Missoula Real Estate Today. Saturday mornings from 8 till 8:30 and replayed Sunday mornings from 10:30 till 11 on News Talk KGVO, FM 98.3 and AM 1290, and on the free KGVO mobile app.
When I deployed, I didn't realize that even the air we were breathing was dangerous. Veterans like us are now eligible for new VA care and benefits based on when and where we served. Apply today. Visit va.gov/PACT.
This hour is flying by here on TalkBack on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. We're honored to have Dr. John Lott joining us on the phone. Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. And folks have been waiting very patiently on the phone to talk with you. Rick, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hey, Dr. Lott, there's a bill sitting in the Oregon State House right now that is just passed a vote to move up. Banning all hunting, fishing, agricultural slaughtering of any animals. So it would be including farming, ranching. Do you think that bill, first of all, do you know anything about the bill? And do you know if a bill like that, if it eventually got to the governor's office and voted in, it would pass federal constitutional muster, especially when it comes to weapon ownership? Most people in Montana own weapons to go hunting, and probably most in most parts of Oregon. What do you know about this bill, and what's its chance?
Right. Well, I don't know about the bill, but I do have friends in Oregon, and I have friends who live in rural Oregon who have been attacked by mountain lions and bears and other things that are there. And the thing is, I'm sure people are well-meaning, you know, they want to protect the animals, but what they don't understand is that the importance of hunting in kind of keeping populations level. Otherwise, what you find is these boom and bust cycles that you have for animals where, you know, the deer or the population explodes, it goes up, they eat the food, and then the population crashes. And so the notion of hunting is, you know, you have to get a permit. There's a certain amount that can be culled from the population each year. And they do that in order to keep the populations from going through those boom and bust cycles. So, you know, they may think it's cruel for somebody to shoot an animal, but is it cruel to have the animal starve to death?
They're going after farmers and ranchers in the butchering process of their livestock. They did say that that's going to be illegal too. That's insane. If you've ever been to of Oregon,
I'm just looking at this headline that it said Oregon Initiative P28. Would criminalize hunting, fishing, trapping, and farming. Initiative, you could figure that out. It's called the Peace Act, would remove legal exemptions protecting hunting, fishing, trapping, and farming from Oregon's animal abuse statutes, turning nearly a million Oregonians into criminals, so the statement says.
Right. Well, I guess they want to move out the people from the red parts of the state to have them moved someplace else. I could understand ranching. I guess I could see some vegans being concerned about that. But farming is, I don't understand where that would be coming from. And I guess you're cruel to the wheat or something. But, I don't know what goes through people's minds on these things. One question I always would ask people, I said, do you think there'd be more or fewer chickens if people stopped eating chickens, or more or fewer cows? I think most people, when they think about it, they realize that nobody would be raising the chickens if people weren't allowed to, you know, use their eggs or eat the chickens. So is it better to have the animal being alive for some period of time than never have existed? The same thing is true with cows. So,
According to the petition here, it says when it comes to farming and ranching, and I'm reading it right off the bill here, raising animals for food, dairy, eggs, and they would be constituting animal abuse if they did that.
Right. Well, maybe people should just stop eating altogether. That would be one way. But, you know, the thing is, we need to stop the mountain lions from eating, too. I mean, they're cruel, eating other animals there, right? So, I don't know. But as far as the constitutionality of that goes, states have regulated hunting for, like, ever.
You bet.
As long as they don't ban the guns per se, if they just ban what you can use it for, outside of self-defense,
We're going to come right back with more with Dr. Lott right after this quick timeout. Stay with us. 406-721-1290 is our number. We're coming right back on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Sorry about that.
Hey boo, it's
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
Meet Ed, movie buff, animal lover, safe driver.
5 years of driving an ambulance teaches you a thing or two. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. When I see a car trying to rush past a turning bus, I get concerned. You see, when big vehicles turn right, they have to swing wide to make the turn. And that's a lesson you don't want to learn the hard way. When trucks and buses turn, let's you and I wait.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Welcome back to Talk Back. Again, our special guest on the phone, Dr. John Lott, Crime Prevention Research Center. Folks, lined up to talk with you, sir, and Dave is standing by. Dave, good morning. You're on with Dr. Lott. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning. You know, I consider myself a liberal conservative. As far as education goes, it sounds like you want, I mean, what does it matter what you, if you're a liberal or a conservative when it comes to education? Isn't it about education? And you as far as I can tell, you think there's too many liberals and they shouldn't be getting educated, and you want to solve that problem. I don't understand.
No,
I mean,
that's not education. True at all. What I want, Dave, is to have balance, at least some balance in academia. The point is that they purposely go out of their way to make sure it's not balanced. I'd be happy if they just didn't go and try to put a thumb on the scale. Look, if you think somebody who's an Eagle Scout shouldn't be admitted into, you know, an Ivy League school, you know, that's your choice. But I don't think that should be relevant. When you're on admissions at those types of universities, what they care about is somebody who distinguished themselves. Can they do well on standardized tests? Can they go and show perseverance and drive? Because those are things that are going to be related to whether they're going to be successful later in life. That's what you should limit yourself to, not look at trying to get proxies for the political views of students that are there. I'll give you one story. When I was at Yale Law School, there was a woman there, a professor named Judy Resnick. I don't know if you know her. She's a very famous feminist legal scholar, and she was always frowning, but she came into the lunchroom one day and she was all smiles, and people noticed and they said, what's going on, what's happened? And she said, well, she'd just done her good deed for the month. She'd gotten two students admitted into the law school who probably couldn't get into a top 10 law school and probably couldn't even get into a top 15 law school. So you have to understand Yale thinks that they're the top law school in the country. And so there was a little bit of concern around the table. And so people asked, well, what happened? Well, the faculty there at Yale goes down and they read through the packets. And she had found two women who had started lesbian activist clubs on their campuses. And she said, you know, this showed drive and perseverance and had gotten the two women admitted to law school, even though their LSAT scores were not particularly strong. And at this point in my life, I had mellowed a fair amount. But the thought that went through my mind was, did you come across any students that had started conservative clubs on campus? But I knew if I asked that, the whole room would come down on me at that point. And I had no desire to get into having everybody angry at me because I asked that question. And so I'm just saying, have the same rules for students, have the same rules for faculty that you're going to have there across them, and don't have political bias go and determine who's going to be admitted or given tenure.
Well, you know, I agree with you on a lot of that. But if you don't like the college and their approach on things, there's lots of colleges in this country. You know,
if you look at surveys nationwide of faculty, so I mentioned one earlier with law professors, you know, you had like 93% of the law professors were registered as Democrats, 4% were registered as Republicans. So, you know, you may have like one law school like George Mason Law School, where you may have half the faculty maybe Republicans. But they're such an outlier. I mean, that if you have 93% overall are registered Democrats, only half at George Mason, you have a lot of universities where it's zero. And I just want faculty to kind of be less biased in terms of who they give tenure to. And I think students learn more if they have a diversity of views of the faculty. If they have faculty that kind of argue and kind of trade points back and forth, I think the students learn more from that. I think also that when all the faculty agrees with each other, they become lazy in terms of teaching. What happens is that they don't worry that if they only provide one side of the argument, that the student's going to go to another class and get the other side, and then they're going to see that they were biased because they know that all the other faculty at the university agrees with them. So, you know, if it was, you know, half the schools were like that and the other half were the opposite, I still wouldn't think that would be great. I'd rather have each faculty be diverse. But you just don't have that across universities these days.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's try to get one more call in real quickly. Skip, good morning. You're on. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Peter. I'll tell you something, Dr. Lott. That question that somebody asked about that initiative in Oregon. Just made me almost forget my question. That was so nuts. Meanwhile, that just proves to me that a few people know how to waste a whole lot of time and effort and money on something that ridiculous. So I wanted to ask you, as we're coming up, sir, and you're such a wonderful guru about these things, plus in your history, you personally had some time with government agencies and your knowledge of them. Do you think that there's some things that are, I'll put it like this, are we doing as good a job as we can being properly prepared security-wise for our upcoming 250th anniversary? Are there things that you can give us some cliff notes on? I can hear you chuckle, I understand. Is there some things that you could give us some cliff notes on to just have our antenna up for personally for ourselves, our families, our schools, and
you bet.
And a little review. And thank you, sir, for coming on today. Thank you, Peter.
You bet. And so we're coming up against a break, so I'm going to have Dr. Lott hang on to that question and answer when we come back. Our phone lines are open at 406-721-1290. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday edition of Talk Back with Dr. John Lott. Stay with us. Hey, it's Peter.
With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's Ace Sauerwein.
The Montana Grizzlies will play host to a national television broadcast once again this year. The Grizzlies will host Idaho State. That is on November 14th. It was announced yesterday. They'll be on the ESPN family of networks. That'll be an 8:30 kick. The Grizz will also be on national television earlier in the season when they take on Oregon State in Corvallis. That'll be a Saturday, September 19th game on the USA Network, slated for a 9 p.m. Mountain kick. Montana State, the defending FCS champs, they'll be on three national television games this fall as well. The Bobcats will take on Nevada on September 12th in the CW. On the ESPN Networks, they will host Northern Arizona Saturday, September 26th. And then at Idaho, just 6 days later, Friday, October 2nd. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Sauerwein.
Thanks for joining us on this Thursday edition of Talk Back. And again, we're privileged to have with Dr. John Locke, a founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, here on the phone. And I know you wanted to real quickly deal with the last caller before we get another one on the line. Go ahead, please, Dr. Locke.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it from Skip. My own guess is that Montana is not going to be one of those states that one has to particularly worry about that type of issue. But the question that he raises fits in with kind of an earlier caller about the kind of the escalation of political violence that we have. And unfortunately, it's something that we probably are more concerned about now than, you know, in 1976 at the 200th anniversary, you know, plus with what's going on with Iran right now. You know, we saw in the first month afterwards, there was kind of obviously Iran-related violence in the United States, some terrorist attacks that occurred. The only thing I can say is, obviously, you know, if people see something strange, they should call, be willing to call the police. Fortunately, we have the FBI. It seems to be much more on the ball right now than it was a couple of years ago. So, you know, it's going to be interesting times.
All right. We have Perry standing by from
It looks like we lost Perry, but okay. we do have Jim.
Jim from Billings. Jim, good morning, sir. You're on Talk Back with Dr. Locke. Go ahead.
Good morning. I appreciate letting me in here. I just wanted to comment on the two representations that you made about Bezos. He was being criticized for saying that the president was more disciplined in this term than his first term, which I share the opinion that he is not. And that's what he was criticizing before. As far as Tallarico goes, I've never heard him say anything even remotely violent. And the senator, whose name I can't remember, from Maine, was again just criticizing Bezos for his comments that Trump
was criticizing Bezos for getting his money through theft. And both Tallarico
conversation live on TV. He criticized
right,
him.
Okay, well,
he was being criticized for calling the president more disciplined this time around.
Plantner and Tallarico may have also criticized him for that, but they have continually criticized him, Plantner explicitly, for getting his money. He didn't deserve to get the money that he got.
I pay attention to all that stuff, and I've never heard that. But he was being
I'm happy to go and provide you quotes for that.
Thanks for the call. Sorry.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Yeah. All right. So we have about, three?
Let John go ahead and respond to that.
Yeah, John, please go ahead and continue to answer that question. Thank you.
Right. You have direct quotes. It's, you know, from Tallarico, where he's talking about the billionaires waging wars against the rest of us right now. The billionaires are winning, taking money from people, you know, trickle-down economics. He uses the words theft and stealing from people explicitly in the quote that I'm seeing right now in front of me. So, you know, that... They rig the economy against the working people there and take, you know, don't properly pay them. That's how they're getting their wealth. So, you know, who knows? But it's just, if it's much more than what comments he made about Trump. And I'm sure anything positive he said about Trump compared to previous presidents, but if you listen to Bezos, he said positive things about Obama. He said positive things about Biden, say that he had worked with all those presidents and that it was important for businessmen to work with the person who is in charge right now. The fact that he said anything positive about Trump, though, I'm sure set off more than a few people.
Well, Dr. Locke, we have just about less than a minute and a half left. Are you working on any new books or publications, sir?
Oh, yeah. Well, I need to work on another book. My wife has been telling me over and over again that I need to finally get around to writing my 11th book, but it takes a while to kind of get in the groove on that. You know, as far as other work, I just finished a piece for Real Clear Investigations. We did a survey on the rate that people across the country were caring. It was basically a survey of general election people. And what you find is about 13% of general election voters carry all or most of the time. Wow. Another 6% at least carry sometimes. So you have 30% of Americans carry a gun at least once in a while.
Dr. Lott?
It's much higher in constitutional carry states. It's over 34% there. So anyway, that's a piece that I have will be coming out soon.
We are completely out of time. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us, Dr. Lott. We look forward to our next visit. Okay, Mr. Nick, what's coming up on Friday's show, sir?
We'll do open phones again for the first hour, and then the second hour we'll be joined by David Sanders. He's running for the Montana PSC.
All right, there you go. And thanks for all your calls, everybody. Get out there and enjoy this beautiful day. And we'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock, for another edition of Talk Back. Have a great day, everyone.